Welcome to the Microgreens World Podcast.
Welcome to this week's deep dive. And, you know, we always try to uncover some hidden gem, and I think we found a good one.
Oh, yeah.
We're talking microgreens in the classroom.
Yeah.
And our source material is an article by Andrew Naves called Microgreens in the Classroom: Educational Applications from K through 6.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we all remember those classic classroom science experiments from when we were kids.
Yeah.
You know, bean sprouts and caterpillars.
Right, right.
But Naves is arguing that microgreens are offering that same hands-on excitement, but with a really cool modern twist. And it's really catching on.
Yeah, it seems like it's really gaining momentum. And I think it's brilliant because it taps into something we all experienced, like those early science experiments that just captivated our young minds.
Right.
It brings that same magic back into the classroom, but, you know, with like a 21st century upgrade.
Exactly. So first things first, why are microgreens popping up in classrooms all over the place?
Well, I mean, you have to think about it. These little greens, they sprout in just days, not weeks. Like, you can see a whole plant life cycle unfold right before your eyes.
Yeah.
It's like instant gratification for kids and a perfect fit for like their attention span.
Right.
Plus, you don't need a ton of space. Microgreens can thrive in like simple trays on a windowsill, like perfect for a classroom setting.
No more waiting for that bean to grow an inch. I get it. But
Naves
goes beyond just the speed and convenience, right?
Yeah.
He says these microgreens are like tiny nutritional powerhouses.
Yeah.
Is there something to that, or is that just hype?
No, it's not hype at all. Microgreens are packed with up to 40 times the nutrients of their mature counterparts.
Wow.
Like, we're talking vitamins, minerals, antioxidants.
Really?
It's like a serious nutritional punch. And there's even research exploring their potential to like boost heart health and even fight certain diseases.
Okay, so you're telling me that like a tiny radish sprout is going to replace my multivitamin?
Well, not quite. But it does bring up a good point about how we can like encourage healthy eating habits in kids.
Yeah.
Because studies show that when kids grow their own food, they're much more likely to try it.
That makes sense.
So imagine a generation of kids asking for seconds of salad because they grew the microgreens themselves.
I love that idea.
Right.
And Naves suggests these tiny greens can do even more.
Uh-huh.
He says they could be a launching pad for all sorts of STEM learning, science, technology, engineering, and math.
Absolutely, because instead of just reading about photosynthesis in a textbook, kids can actually see it in action.
Right.
They can experiment with like different growing methods, like comparing soil to hydroponics, and they can even design and build their own systems.
So we're talking DIY grow lights, automated watering systems, even coding.
Exactly.
I remember my science projects being a lot simpler.
Yeah, kids today can learn about electronics programming and engineering all while like nurturing these tiny green charges.
Wow.
They could use like a microcontroller to program a grow light to mimic natural daylight patterns to like optimize their microgreen yield.
Yeah.
That's hands-on STEM education at its finest.
So microgreens aren't just a science project. They're like a mini laboratory where kids can experiment, solve problems, and actually see the results of what they're doing.
Precisely. It's not just about memorizing facts. It's about like building critical thinking skills and fostering a genuine love for scientific inquiry.
I love that. And it doesn't stop there.
Right.
Naves goes on to say that microgreens can help kids understand where their food comes from. And he calls this food literacy.
Yeah. This is so important now, especially with all the processed foods and grocery store aisles.
Right.
With microgreens, kids can experience the entire journey from seed to plate. You know,
yeah.
They learn about sustainability, healthy eating, and the interconnectedness of our food systems.
So instead of just learning about farms in a book, they're getting their hands dirty, planting seeds, and actually harvesting food.
Exactly.
It makes the learning so much more tangible and real.
It does, and it can spark important conversations about climate change, food security, the impact of our choices on the environment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are really complex issues, but microgreens offer like a simple, relatable entry point for these young minds.
Yeah, it sounds like we've got science, technology, nutrition, environmental awareness.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like Naves is saying that microgreens are like a secret weapon for like a well-rounded education.
I think that's a great way to put it. They offer a multidisciplinary learning experience that's really hard to beat. And perhaps most importantly, they make learning fun and engaging for kids of all ages.
Yeah, and that's huge.
Yeah.
That's key.
And the beauty of it is like you can scale microgreens to different age groups and learning levels.
Right.
Naves spends a good chunk of the article talking about how to kind of ramp up the complexity for older students.
Okay, so we've got the basics down, but how do we take microgreens beyond, say, a second grade science fair project?
Well, you know, middle schoolers, for example, are ready for more like rigorous scientific inquiry. So instead of just like observing plant growth, they can design controlled experiments, manipulate variables, and like collect and analyze data, you know, like real scientists.
Okay, give me an example. What kind of experiment could a middle schooler design with microgreens?
Okay, so let's say they're curious about like the effect of different colored lights on plant growth.
Okay.
They could set up separate trays of microgreens, each exposed to a different light spectrum, like red, blue, or full spectrum white light.
Mm-hmm.
And then they could like meticulously measure the growth rate, the height, even the nutrient content of each batch, and compare their findings to scientific literature.
So it's not just about growing pretty greens anymore.
Right.
We're talking about testing hypotheses,
yeah,
collecting hard data, and drawing evidence-based conclusions.
Exactly. And with the right guidance, they can even delve into statistical analysis, learning to interpret data and present their findings in a scientific report.
Wow. That's impressive.
Yeah. It's real-world science, you know, that goes beyond the textbook.
Yeah. But Neves also talks about taking microgreens beyond the science lab, right?
Uh-huh.
He sees them as like a tool for teaching about broader issues like sustainability and food systems.
Yeah, that's where it gets really exciting. You know, middle schoolers, they're at an age where they're starting to grapple with these big, complex issues.
Yeah.
And microgreens offer like a tangible way to explore concepts like local food systems, reducing food waste, the environmental impact of our food choices.
So a tray of microgreens becomes like a jumping off point for thinking about things like urban farming, community gardens, reducing our carbon footprint.
Exactly. They might research like the resources required to produce different types of food, compare the water usage of the transportation costs of, say, a head of lettuce grown on a conventional farm versus a tray of microgreens grown right in their classroom.
Well,
you know,
it sounds like NEFS is encouraging kids to become informed citizens who are aware of these issues and empowered to think critically about potential solutions.
Absolutely. And he even suggests ways to integrate microgreens into other subjects like math and economics. You know, imagine students creating like a business plan for a school-based microgreen enterprise.
Right.
Calculating cost, projected profits, and even marketing strategies.
Now that's thinking outside the box.
Right.
It's not just about science anymore. It's about connecting those skills to real-world applications, even potential career paths.
Exactly. It shows how microgreens can be like a springboard for creativity, innovation, and even entrepreneurship.
You love it.
And let's be honest. What kid wouldn't love the idea of running their own microgreen business?
Okay, so we've covered the educational benefits, but I'm curious about the logistics.
Mm-hmm.
Neves outlines a structured 2-week microgreens project.
Yeah.
What are some of the key highlights?
It's surprisingly simple and achievable, even for busy teachers.
Okay.
He breaks it down like day by day from planting and watering to harvesting, and of course the all-important taste testing.
Of course.
He even suggests using like different types of microgreens like radishes, sunflowers, peas to add variety and appeal to different palates.
Okay, it sounds like a fun and educational way to spend a couple of weeks in the classroom, but let's be realistic. What about the challenges?
Yeah.
What if the crops fail? Or what about caring for the plants over the weekend?
Well, Neves doesn't shy away from those real-world concerns.
Good.
He emphasizes that even like setbacks can be valuable learning opportunities.
I like that.
A failed crop isn't a disaster. It's a chance to problem solve.
So instead of getting discouraged, the kids are encouraged to figure out what went wrong and how they could do things differently next time.
Exactly. It builds resilience, adaptability, and like a growth mindset.
I like that approach.
And NEBS offers practical solutions too, like setting up self-watering systems, having backup seeds on hand, and communicating with parents about weekend care.
Right.
He really wants teachers to feel like equipped to tackle this project with confidence.
It sounds like he's thought of everything, but does he offer any proof that this approach actually works?
Yeah.
Are there schools out there that have successfully implemented microgreen programs?
Absolutely. He cites examples from real schools and organizations that have embraced microgreens. He mentions groups like AquaTree Oregon State University's Farm to School program and kidsgardening.org.
Okay.
All of which offer resources and support to educators, and the stories are inspiring.
So give me a glimpse into what success looks like.
Okay, so we're talking about kids getting excited about science, taking pride in their harvest, and even influencing school lunch menus.
Yeah.
Imagine a school cafeteria where kids are clamoring for salads topped with their own homegrown microgreens.
Yeah.
You know, that's the power of this approach.
Yeah, it sounds like Neves has a real vision here. You know, not just for improving science education, but for creating a more engaged and informed generation of kids.
And he emphasizes that, like, the impact can extend beyond the classroom. Like, he suggests involving families, like sending home growing instructions or even sharing microgreen samples and recipes to encourage healthy eating habits at home.
I love that it turns, like, a classroom project into a family affair.
Exactly. It strengthens that homeschool connection and reinforces those important lessons about nutrition sustainability and where our food comes from.
Yeah.
He even suggests that schools could create like a microgreen Monday newsletter to share updates, recipes, and tips with families, you know, and build a sense of community around this shared learning experience.
You know, as we've been diving into this, I can't help but think about my own childhood science experiments.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of jealous of these kids.
Yeah.
Imagine if we had incorporated microgreens back then.
I know. It makes you wonder how many other, like, innovative approaches are out there waiting to be discovered. Educational approaches are always evolving. And it's exciting to see how microgreens are kind of breathing new life into those traditional science classrooms.
And it's not just about keeping up with the times. It's about tapping into that innate curiosity and wonder that children have.
Yeah.
Microgreens provide such a hands-on, tangible way to do that.
And let's not forget the practical benefits. Neves makes it clear that microgreens are relatively inexpensive to grow.
Right.
Schools can easily incorporate them into, like, existing budgets.
Yeah, that's huge.
They don't require specialized equipment or extensive training.
That's crucial, especially in an era of, like, tight school budgets and overstretched teachers.
Mm-hmm.
I can already see, like, teachers across the country getting excited about this.
Absolutely. And just imagine that sense of accomplishment those students will feel, you know, when they harvest their own microgreens and see them incorporated into the school lunches.
It's like such a powerful lesson in self-sufficiency and the interconnectedness of our food system.
Yeah.
And it also, like, builds community.
Yeah.
You know, they're working together, sharing responsibilities and celebrating their success as a team.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe, you know, could even spark, like, an entrepreneurial spirit.
Right.
Maybe those students will start selling their microgreens at a local farmer's market or develop a business plan for supplying local restaurants.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go. Thinking outside the box again. It just shows how a simple tray of microgreens can be a catalyst for so much more, for creativity, for innovation, for community building, and for a deeper understanding of the world around us.
And ultimately, I think that's what Neva's article is all about.
Yeah.
It's about recognizing the potential of even the smallest things to inspire big ideas and to make a real difference.
So to wrap things up, I think it's safe to say that microgreens aren't just a passing fad in the world of education.
I agree.
They offer a fresh, engaging, and multifaceted approach to learning that has the potential to benefit students of all ages.
And if you're listening to this and feeling inspired, I encourage you to dive deeper. Check out Nave's article, explore the resources he mentions, and see how you can bring the magic of microgreens into your own life, whether you're a teacher, a parent, or simply someone who's curious about the world.
So until next time, keep your minds open, your curiosity piqued, and don't be afraid to get your hands a little dirty. You never know what amazing discoveries might be waiting just around the corner.